Okay, let's turn on over to Genesis 18 here tonight. Genesis 18. I'm going to read part of the chapter and even part of the next. A lot of this will just be a review of what's going on here, but we can begin at first with verse 1, 18:1. The Lord appeared unto him. Now we're talking about Abraham. In the plain of Mamre, just remember the place, just kind of in the back of your mind. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, "My Lord." So three men show up and he says, "My Lord." What is that? That's the Godhead showing up in forms of men, right? Tripart being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, right? "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou said." And Abraham hastened unto the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and young or good, gave it unto the young man, and he hasted to dress it. Poor baby calf. I mean, pretty inhumane, don't you think? And he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them, and stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. They said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." Now Sarah heard that, and she laughed. In verse 12, there's an exchange, and then I want you to see what happens down here. Again, some of this is just review. Many of you know what went on here, but verse 16, "The men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said," and this has to be within himself. I doubt they talked among themselves. If you're a Godhead, I think you don't have to talk, right? He says, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him," I mean, I know him, "that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous," notice "I." Now this is still three guys talking. All of a sudden he's gone from "they" to "I," right? You see what's going on here? "I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is, come unto me, and if not, I will know." So Abraham proceeds, knowing that Lot is in Sodom, proceeds to dicker with the Lord, and he takes him from 50 righteous men, verse 24. If you find 50 righteous men, you're still going to destroy the city. Lord says, "No, if I find 50, I won't destroy the city." Takes him down to 40 in verse 28, down to 30 in verse 30, down to 20 in verse 31, down to 10 in verse 32. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Let's go ahead and pray there before we go further. Father, trying to get a lasso around this passage because there's something here that's pretty sweet. I pray you might give us a picture tonight of something that's very important. And we just pray you'd help us now in Jesus' name. Now, you'll note he's still communing with the Lord in verse 33, and then in verse 19, chapter 19, verse 1, "There came two angels to Sodom at even." Now, go back to 18:22. Let me show you that verse. "Okay, the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord." Now, when two angels show up in chapter 19, verse 1, that leads me to think that two guys walked off towards Sodom and that left one behind. Does that make sense? Okay, so two guys show up in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the first guy they meet is Lot. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, 19:1. Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. All right, so three men show up to talk to Abraham at his tent in Mamre. Two of those guys apparently depart while the Lord is talking to Abraham, and as Abraham is dickering down the Lord down from 50 to 10, and those two guys apparently show up in Sodom and Gomorrah and there meet Lot at the gate, right? Now, I've preached all kinds of things out of these two passages. It shows, like the passage this morning in Luke 15, just depending on how you approach a passage sometimes, I mean, there's all kinds, depending on how the light reflects off of it from the angle, there's just all kinds of things to see sometimes. And one passage yields many things. So I'd read through and preached through and studied through Genesis 18 and 19 many times. And then one day I realized kind of what I was, it dawned on me what I was seeing. What I'm seeing and that I'd missed for so long was the fact that in Genesis 18, at Abraham's tent, God showed up and sat down in the tent and fellowshipped with Abraham, right? Then the next chapter, he shows up at Lot's townhome in Sodom and Gomorrah and sits down and fellowships with Lot. And it dawned on me how different the timbre of those two types of fellowship. One guy was the friend of God to be, and the other guy was a backslidden Christian. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But let me talk to you about Abraham for a minute. Now, Genesis 18, Abraham is the father of our faith, right? He's not a sinlessly perfect man, just like you're not a sinlessly perfect man. He lied about his wife. He took Lot and his dad from Ur of the Chaldees when he was supposed to leave him behind. And the whole Hagar and Ishmael issue was a little bit unseemly, right? But despite his failures, Abraham was destined for greatness. It's just a few chapters forward from here, chapter 22, that Abraham does that thing that forever lands him as being the friend of God, right? He's going to become that friend of God one day. He's destined for greatness. He's a sanctified Christian, laboring to do right. And one day here in chapter 18, outside of the tent in Mamre, the Lord just shows up, eats his bread and eats his calf and sits and drinks and fellowships with Abraham, shows him some stuff. He's just there to have a good time. In fact, even though there's a dickering thing at the end of the chapter, look down at chapter 18, verse 33, the Lord calls that communing. Even though Abraham jumped in the last, now said, "Now, Lord, if you find 50, no, wait, if you find 40, no, wait, if you find 30, no, if you find 20, no, if you find 10. And even though that's all this back and forth, Lord still calls that communing. Now, that's fellowship. And he shows up at Abraham's tent in Mamre because his fellowship with Abraham is sweet. Now, he shows up at Lot's place under slightly different circumstances. Because Lot has, they split back in chapter 13. In fact, in chapter 14, Lot was then captured by a bunch of kings, and Abraham and his servants went and defeated a bunch of kings to get Lot back. So Lot's just, he's in hip deep, chest deep before he even knows it, winds up being carried off, and Abraham goes and rescues him. Here you are in chapter 19, here is a Lot sitting in the gate of Sodom, chapter 19, verse 1. And there's something that we know about Lot. Take your Bible real quick, keeping your finger in Genesis. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. There's something we know about Lot that somebody watching him that day might not have suspected. But Lot was one of the Lord's men too. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and notice down in verse 7. God delivered just Lot. A guy that is in Sodom and Gomorrah, and when the men of the city want to get to the two angels, he said, "Oh, I'll take my daughters instead." Just Lot. Gives you a little bit of an indication about what a quote-unquote Christian is capable of. Right? With the right circumstances, with the right friends, that's what you are capable of. Verse 7, "Deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Now you can go back to Genesis 19. And that's Lot. Lot is a saint. He's saved. Now these are not New Testament Christians, so it's slightly different. But still, for our purposes, he's a saint that has eased back into concord even with Sodom and Gomorrah. And so you think that's possible for you? You say, "Oh no, I would never." Well, you just don't know what you would ever do if you hang around for long enough and hear enough and make friends and have contacts and have business and all those things. Lot is a type of a saint that's eased back into fellowship with Sodom and Gomorrah and the world. What he doesn't know is there's a disastrous deadline ahead. God's just about had enough. Already talked to Uncle Abraham about the fact that he's going to nail this place. And so here is Lot, a backslidden saint, sitting in the middle of the railroad tracks with the train coming down. Right? And the Lord, the point tonight is that the Lord sat at both those guys' tables within a few hours of each other and fellowshipped with both of those guys, both of those saints. And I got thinking about how different the two timbers, tones of fellowship must have been. So I'd like to preach to you tonight about fellowship of different sorts. Or maybe call this a tent in Mamre, because that's what your goal should be. First of all, let me point out to you that in Genesis 18, when the Lord shows up at Abraham's tent, that it's about relationship, it's about friendship. God showed up there because he wanted to. Abraham has been a solid man, a solid friend. Abraham has become a pilgrim because God said, "Go." He left Ur of the Chaldees with no certain dwelling place because God said, "I'll tell you when to move, just go camp out." He became a pilgrim, and last I checked, we're supposed to be pilgrims. Know what I'm saying? He believed the impossible. I mean, here's a 100-year-old guy and a 90-year-old woman, and her womb is dead and his flesh is dead, and he says, "Hey, Abraham, come out here and count the stars if you can, because that's how many kids I'm going to give you by natural birth eventually." He says, "You believe that?" And Abraham says, "Well, you said so, so yeah." I mean, Abraham was willing to believe what was we would consider impossible, what was unprecedented. Nobody had ever had babies that late, right? Abraham had trusted God for supply. He had left Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham even had undergone circumcision in chapter 17, because the Lord said, that's a token of my covenant with you and the men children that you have begotten. Each of man child, including yourself, should be circumcised. So Abraham went through that operation late in life, apparently gladly, because he wanted to preserve his fellowship with God. And God showed up at Abraham's tent because he wanted to, because the fellowship was sweet, right? Take your Bible real quick, keeping your finger there. Look in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15. John 15, 14. Abraham will go down in history as being the friend of God. And Jesus said this, "Ye are my friends," verse 14, "if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." And so here in this day, in this tent, the Lord informed Abraham of something he was going to do. Because Abraham was his friend. Right? That friendship there was a sweet thing. Abraham basically fell all over himself early in the chapter. The Lord shows up. He goes, "Oh, Lord, what are you in the world are you doing here? I didn't see you coming. Y'all sit down. I'll go get some bread and I'll get a calf slaughtered. And just please sit down there and we'll eat in a little while." And they said, "Yep, that's fine." Verse 5, "So do as thou hast said." I mean, Lord said, "Sure, I'll stay." So those three guys sat down in Abraham's tent while Abraham scrambled around, kind of panicked, trying to get everything together. Poor Sarah, you know, she's got to get bread together and all that. Guy has to go slaughter a calf and cut off the loin and make sure that that's cooked right and all that stuff. I mean, he fell all over himself just to make sure the Lord felt welcome. And the Lord felt welcome. And that was sweet fellowship because it was based on friendship, right? Okay, now think about Genesis 19 backed up against that picture. Here is Lot, verse 1. "There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat not in his tent, but in the gate of Sodom." So he's sitting in a place of one of the chief guys in Sodom. There's a statement a little bit later down in verse 9 where they accuse him and say, "This one fellow came into sojourn and he will needs be a judge." There's some indication there that Lot was running for office in Sodom. He wanted to be a big man in Sodom. He's got business in Sodom. He's got his family in Sodom. The kids all go to school in Sodom. His wife, you know, she's more comfortable with this than she is somewhere else because it's like Egypt. You know, she's not like Sarah at all. And I want to say that here too, that God came and sat at Lot's table, like he sat at Abraham's table. But the fellowship must have been quite a bit different because he came here as an obligation. Lot's his child too. And he's sitting in the place that God is angry at and is going to burn to the ground. And he's there to get him out. It's a rescue mission. It's an obligation. It's not something he wants to do. It's not really somewhere he wants to go sit and eat, but he's got an obligation effectively to his child, and he's going to go try to rescue him. And, you know, saints oftentimes get backslidden. I suppose you know that. You've probably been there. And I'm glad that the Lord shows up in hospitals and jails and at funerals and after you've made the worst mistake of your life but you're saved and the Lord shows up and ministers to you in the wreckage of a ungodly decision. Here is Paul, who despite the Holy Spirit's warning three times, he was warned, "Do not go to Jerusalem." He went anyway, wound up arrested, must have been sitting there with his head between his knees thinking, "Boy, I blew it now." And the Lord shows up and says, "Well, Paul, be of good cheer, as thou hast borne witness of me in Jerusalem, I'm going to send you to Rome and you're going to bear witness of me there. So it's all right." But it's still not ideal. Can you see the difference of timber between those two types of fellowship? On one case, he's sitting down with a friend. In the other case, he's sitting down with somebody that's his child, but it's really an obligation. It's a rescue. And I want to say that if I ever get into a dirty place, sick and wounded and sore and messed up, I want the Lord to come rescue me. And He will, I'm sure of it. And we'll have fellowship there. Maybe on a hospital bed if it's my fault, or in the wreckage of something that I've just really screwed up really bad. But it's not the same kind of fellowship as in the tent in Mamre. Can you see that? Your goal should be the tent in Mamre, where a man sits with his wife in a evening, and the cicadas are singing in the trees, and a couple of owls are hooting back and forth. Once in a while, you hear a lamb bleat that lost its mama, but otherwise, it's total peace. And once in a while, you go by there, and there are these voices, you know, several men talking, and it's the fellowship between God and Abraham and Sarah, and it's a sweet fellowship, and God wants to be there, and Abraham wants him to be there. Think about God coming to a place desiring to speak with you there, as opposed to God having to wade through a bunch of vomit and slime to get to you so he can drag you out of an alley. That's the difference. You should desire the tent in Mamre, because those two brands of fellowship are far different. Look at back to chapter 18. I can say this too, just a few characteristics of this fellowship. It's fair to say that God came to Abraham in chapter 18. It was voluntary. Lord shows up at Mamre. He wanted to, and he wanted Abraham to know something, so he showed up to show him that. And again, Abraham fell all over himself, trying to make the Lord feel welcome, trying to make sure the Lord stayed. Just, Lord, if you just have 30 minutes to let us cook bread and butcher a calf, we'll have meat for you. Within a half hour, can you please stay? He says, sure, we'll stay. That's why we came. And that was a sweet thing, you know. Meanwhile, in Sodom, it's not voluntary so much as it is necessity. Again, the Lord has an obligation to you. You're his child, and so he's going to try to come dig you out of the swamp. And when you have fellowship there, he'll minister to you and patch up your wounds and drag you out and clean you up. But it's not the same kind of fellowship. That's the point. In Sodom, it's forced. It's a duty. And I just have you note here, in chapter 19, verse 1, the two angels show up. There's Lot sitting in the gate of the city of Sodom. He knows who that is, bows himself to the ground, his face is toward the ground. Notice verse 2, and he said, behold now, my lords, the first thing out of his mouth is, you got to get off the street. Turn in, I pray thee, unto your servant's house and tarry all night. And by the way, after you tarry all night, you go wash your feet, and you got to get up early and get out of here. Well, that's weird. That's not Abraham's behavior. I grant you, Abraham was a little flustered, but he was trying to get the Lord to stay. Lot's flustered. He's got those two angels. He's pushing them in the middle of their back. Get off the street. Get off. We got to go. Hurry. He says, and you're going to come in. We're going to eat supper, and you're going to take a bath. You're going to go to bed, and you're going to get up in the morning and leave right away. Leave while it's still dark. Because he wants those guys out of there because he knows what's in Sodom. He's ashamed. And those guys did sit down to dinner with him. But the fellowship there was forced. Obligatory. I don't know how much Bible they discussed tonight. I don't know how much joy there was. I wonder what their conversation was like. What are they going to talk about? Abraham's job? Abraham's campaign to become city council member in Sodom? So he can help make policy with the rest of the queers? That's exactly what's going on. Don't tell me the fellowship's the same. Those guys came in to get Lot by the nape of the neck, drag him out of town with his family so they wouldn't get burned alive. It's not the same fellowship as Abraham out there on the plain in the tent of Mamre, and the Lord showing up because he wanted to and sitting down and enjoying leisure with Abraham. It's not the same at all. I want the Lord to come get me if I ever get in a dirty place. But I shouldn't shoot for being in a dirty place. I'll remind you that Christians today are real careless with their fellowship, who they hang out with, what they do, what hobbies they pick up, what they do for pleasure, what they do in leisure. They're pretty careless. And drinking's become okay, and I suppose probably now smoking dope's kind of okay. And, you know, partying down is acceptable to a certain degree. And frankly, some churches, the youth department and the singles department is basically the same kind of meat market as a bar. Sometimes, minus the alcohol. Sometimes. You say, what are you saying? I'm just saying, I want to be rescued if I get to a dirty place. And I'm sure the Lord will come and will clean me up and patch up my wounds, and we'll have fellowship. And we'll maybe get it restored, and it'll be good, and I'll still be his child. But it won't be the same kind of fellowship as Abraham had. And that's the point. I'll point out another note to you here. Abraham out there on the plain of Mamre in his tent door, that is a sanctified fellowship. Abraham is separated from Lot. That should remind me to say there are some Christians you should not hang around, because they're going to lead you wrong. Not just Christians in name only, but some genuine saints of God that are just going to lead you wrong. Lot would have led Abraham into Sodom. You see what I'm saying? But it was a separated and sanctified fellowship they had. Abraham was obeying God. He had left Ur of the Chaldees. He was still wandering. He would pack up and leave whenever the Lord said pack up and leave. And he would travel till the Lord said, okay, stop here for a while. He did that the remainder of his life. He never had a central abiding place. He was constantly moving. He was on a pilgrimage, and the Lord has called us as pilgrims. His trust and belief was in the Lord. He did what God told him to do. Like I said, he even separated from Lot. Lot was not sanctified. He did not separate, not for the right reasons. Lot was fully enjoined, fully engaged in Sodom and Gomorrah, with whatever all else was going on there. There may have been some things he had not been defiled with. I'm not accusing him of that. Apparently not. But still, he was too close, and he had been too near it for so long that he had no genuine desire to leave. And so God had to come get him. So again, it was a rescue attempt. Like I said, that night, I mean, here comes these guys. They walk up. Lot immediately knows who they are. He says, okay, oh, guys, hi, nice to meet you. Let's go on down to the house. And they said, well, what's the hurry? We just got here. He said, oh, no, it's dusk. We need to get off. We need to get off the street. They said, but why? He said, because I said so. And basically, he got them by the arm, like I said, got it, put a hand in the middle of each of their backs and just pushed them towards home. Comes in the door. Mrs. Lot hears, a commotion out in the entry area, and she sticks her head out. She says, what is going on, Lot? He says, there's two guys here. They're the angels of the Lord, and they're here for dinner. She said, I don't have enough dinner cooked for a couple other guys. He said, get some more dinner on, because they're here. I mean, he's under extreme duress, because he's got to keep these guys off the street. Meanwhile, upstairs, these guys are kind of standing around in the entry of the house, and there's something on TV that shouldn't be on there, and they hear music upstairs. The two of the girls are upstairs, and Lot says, I'm going to go get the girls and get them to help get supper. So he storms upstairs and beats on their doors, and says, hey, shut that stuff off. Come out here for a minute. I got to talk to you. And both of them are arguing with their daddy, basically shoves them down the stairs, These girls are tattooed. They got hardware stores hanging off their face and stuff. And it's plain that they've been they've been fully engaged in Sodom and Gomorrah. So why do we have to help mom in the kitchen? Because we never eat together anyway. And he says, just get in that kitchen and help your mother, okay? And so they go in, and meanwhile, there's this fierce whispering going on. What's going on? Who are those guys? And she said, just shut your mouth and help. And those guys are standing there, you know, sitting there on the couch with their legs crossed going, wow. Look at that. Lot finally disengages from dealing with the wife and the daughters. Turns around and sees what's on TV. Has to run, find the clicker, because it needs to be the channel needs to be shifted real bad. After a while, they sit there for a few quiet minutes. Can you imagine sitting there for 45 minutes waiting for supper to be done with three guys that don't want to be together? You know, with two representatives of two parts of the Trinity sitting there. And Lot has been living like he's been living. He's exposed his family to everything in the world. And they're sitting there across the, you know, the table, a foot table, whatever, in the center of the living room, trying to figure, you know, the weather sure has been nice, hasn't it? The conversation just must have been wonderful. That fellowship must have been just much cherished by all. No, it wasn't, because it wasn't sanctified. They found there were all kinds of things that night at supper that they couldn't talk about. They couldn't talk about what Lot did for work. They couldn't talk about the girl's school. They couldn't talk about Lot's plan or Lot's campaign to come, because God wasn't in it at all. It's plain that Lot had just exposed his family to pollution and corruption, and these guys are there to get him out. And so they sit there, and it's just a really uncomfortable time. And meanwhile, they're sitting there eating supper, and there's a fight that broke out outside. And actually, there's a bar kitty corner across the street, and there's a bunch of queers over there fighting and stuff. And, you know, it's just ugly. The police show up, and pretty soon, they're knocking on Lot's door and saying, send those guys out. Those are two pretty good-looking guys. And Lot says, take my daughters instead. I mean, it wouldn't be polite to let you have those guys. Like Brother Pilkington said, it's just sick. Meanwhile, there's God has come down into this pig lot to rescue one of his own. And they sat across the table from each other and had fellowship. But it was a lot different fellowship than what they had in Abraham's tent in Mamre. Is that right? I'm telling you, I want to be rescued if I get in a dirty place, but it won't be the same if I don't. I'd like to say in Genesis 18, if you'll go back there for just a minute, again comparing the two, it was revelatory because Lord says down in verse 20, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham got alarmed, you know, and stood yet before the Lord and started to, you know, talk to the Lord. Says, well, verse 23, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? I mean, Lot's there, Lot's saved, and, you know, you can't destroy him too. He said, what if, say, you know, there's 50 righteous within the city? Will you also destroy the city if there's 50 there? He says, no, I won't destroy it if there's 50 righteous souls there. Oh, well, that's good. I'm just glad for that, he says. He said, well, Lord, excuse me, but while we're talking, verse 28, what if you find 40? He says, well, if there's 40 righteous people there, I won't destroy it. Oh, well, I really appreciate that. Thank you for being flexible, Lord. I really do. While we're talking, verse 30, what if you find 30 righteous people? He says, well, found 30, I guess I would spare the city. Well, that's a blessing, Lord. I just appreciate that. And I'm glad you're letting me talk to you about this, because, you know, now that I think about it, what if there's 20? You going to still destroy? He said, I won't destroy it for 20. He says, well, if, Lord, I don't mean to press you too hard, but what if there's 10? I mean, Lot saved. His wife saved, presumably. He's got two daughters at home that are saved. We learn later there's two daughters that aren't home that are married to guys in, you know, in the city. So you got Lot and his wife. You got the two single daughters. Then you got four more, right? Couples. And surely Lot's married daughters won their husbands to the Lord. So there's eight people right there. So surely Lot won two other people over to God's side. And all the time he's been in Sodom and Gomorrah. So Abraham says, what about 10? And the Lord says, if I find 10 righteous people, I won't destroy Sodom. And Lot said, that's really good, because I'm sure that the Lot has done some work for you there in Sodom and Gomorrah. As it turns out, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because there weren't 10 righteous people. All right, well, Lord shows up there and he has a purpose. And just want to say that sometimes, I don't know what your experience has been, but you can't spend much real quality time with God in the Bible and in prayer with a right attitude without learning something. His fellowship with God that day was revelatory. He got to know something he didn't know before. God let him in on something he was going to do. And it alarmed Abraham. He shows up in chapter 19 for Lot, and they sit down to dinner, and they have quote-unquote fellowship over dinner. And all he showed up there for was to say, look, you're sitting in the middle of the train tracks and a train's coming. You're sitting on top of a keg of gunpowder and I'm about to push the button. So get out. And you know, the next day, next morning, Lot's up trying to get the two married daughters back so that he can take them out of the city. He's not too frantic about it, because the men finally came and took Lot by the hand and set him outside the city. That's a lot different fellowship than what Abraham enjoyed the same day. Is that right? All right. Well, I'm just about done. In chapter 19, verse 29, would you go down? 19:29. Lord is now destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. He has taken Lot and his wife and the two daughters out of the city and set them down outside. He tells them not to look back. In verse 26, of course, the wife does look back. She became a pillar of salt. But note what was said in verse 29. It came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. I'd like to say that fellowship, and at least in Abraham's case, was profitable. It's profitable because there was something accomplished in that fellowship that changed how God did things in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, that was the case of Abraham. But for Lot, really, what did the time at the Lord's table, at his own table with the Lord, I should say, what real profit came from that? First of all, the two daughters that are married, they stay in the city and are burned. Right? The two daughters, well, the wife, she looks back, becomes a pillar of salt because she disobeyed. The two other daughters, as you probably know, wound up getting Lot drunk and wound up in incestuous relationships and wound up bearing Moab and Ammon. And it was a royal train wreck. That fellowship was most unprofitable for the Lord. The Lord didn't get anything out of it. He just watched the train wreck happen in Lot's life. And for Lot, you know, it's just, like I said, it's a total train wreck. So what I urge tonight, this has been a relatively short sermon, and so I just urge you to take those two back-to-back chapters and compare, and you need to decide what kind of fellowship it is that you want. Because I am convinced if you get messed up far enough, the Lord will come and try to dig you out. And you may be able to give a testimony in the end of a sweet time that you had with God because He came and rescued you. I can tell you that happened in my life when I was backslidden and came back to the Lord, right? But in Lot's case, the train wreck just continued. In Abraham's case, it was a sweet time. So here, put these two pictures together if you would. Here you have, you're out on the plains, far enough away from the city of Sodom and Gomorrah that you can't even see the lights in the sky on the horizon. And there you find, backed up against the foothills of the mountains, you know, as you come off the plain, Abraham has his tent pitched maybe beneath a little grove of alders. And, you know, it's the cool of the day. And like I said, the owls are answering to one another and the cicadas are singing in the trees. It's cooled off quite a bit. And so there's a little bit of a mist rising up off of the brook that babbles down and waters the sheep there. And the Lord shows up to a campfire. There's in that tent, and there's a smell of bread cooking. There's a smell of roasting meat. And again, once in a while, a sheep bleats for its mama or whatever. But it's all peace. And there's a couple of dogs laying there by Abraham's feet, you know, sheep dogs in the tent. And in comes the Lord, and He says, "Hey, Lord, it's good seeing you again. Sit down and let's have some fellowship." Lord says, "Happy to." And they sit down there, and you could hear on into the night, on into 11, 12 o'clock at night, those men sitting there talking. Sarah is over in the corner fixing some stuff and sewing, and she's humming a hymn. That's a pretty pleasant pastoral picture. Now you take that and just flip it into Sodom, this dingy, dirty, polluted town with the vile music coming off the gay 90s and all that kind of stuff. Got these weirdos all walking around in various states of dress and undress. Half of them are drunk out of their minds. Half of them are on dope. And meanwhile, Abraham's been making a living there, living in more or less kind of a rundown condo or whatever. And this particular night, he's running into some trouble because the friends that he thought were so important to him wound up turning on him, and he didn't get elected after all. And so he's about half lit, about half drunk, three sheets to the wind, in a back alley somewhere. And this is still the Lord's child. And so he's going to come help him. And so the Lord turns off this dingy, dirty, filthy street, has to walk back into this alley where everybody's vomited and a few people have peed here and there. And he has to go in there and squat down beside a Lot and get his shoulder under his arm and kind of lift him up and get an arm around his shoulder and kind of carry him out. That is not the same kind of fellowship as Abraham enjoyed. And you will fellowship with God. There are men in prison that found fellowship with God. And I'm glad for it. I don't plan to go, but if I'm ever in prison, I want the Lord to come fellowship with me. But it won't be the same as Abraham's tent in Mamre. So you need to choose tonight what kind of fellowship you want. You're ready, willing to blow off church to make it a second or third priority. But church kind of keeps some of us going. Because, I mean, get preached at Sunday and Monday, little down, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, if you skip, you're getting further out of it still. But, you know, if you come, at least you get two little shots of adrenaline, one on Sunday and one on Wednesday. But if it's come and go, if it's, you know, roll the dice on whether you're going to go today or not, it's kind of like telling the Lord, well, you're secondary. And whether you read your Bible this week and whether you took the time to, you know, even if you didn't have a big prayer request that you needed to pray for, that you didn't spend any time with God, it doesn't bode well. You're cruising for a bruising, as they used to say back home. You're going to wind up getting punched in the mouth by the devil. The world's going to come along and the Lord's not going to protect you because you kind of strayed outside the umbrella of his protection. And so you get beat up, and here you lay wounded and bleeding. So the Lord comes along, and he tries to use that incident as a way to help you get to your feet and realize you need to be closer. But that's not going to be the same kind of fellowship as Abraham, who separated, was the friend of God. God loved showing up to his tent. Because Abraham would split a gut trying to make sure God felt welcome. It's a far different kind of fellowship than Lot's fellowship. I think you'll agree. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father,